Have you ever wondered why the news plays the same five stories again and again? Let me give you a little hint. Brainwashing and repetition is the most basic form of brainwashing. Join me as we look at the news cycle and talk about why the mainstream media is so gutless and afraid to report the truth. What's up? Happy Friday. Welcome to Troubled Minds News. I'm your host, Michael Strange, and this is the show where the conspiracy is the news. That's right. You know what that means. The propaganda, misinformation, disinformation, all the horse shit we see in the news cycles. Well, I'm the master of the news cycle. And so, of course, we're here doing it and talking about it. Looking at all the things that get reported, but get, let's say, underreported. They don't get enough oxygen as they probably should. Or, let's say, looking at propaganda in terms of fake news and all the rest of that. You know the deal. You've been here once or twice. You know what's going on. Hope everybody's well. Happy Friday. And we're just doing the thing. We're hanging out and doing what we do. And if you want to be part of the show at any point, you know the drill. It's a transparency effort. I share all my links so you guys can go follow up and make sure I'm just not flat out just making shit up. And also, if you want to call and tell me I'm full of shit, you're allowed. 702-957-1037. That's 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link at troublewines.org. We'll put you on the show. It's as easy as that. This show actually started as a part of the Troubled Minds radio, if you guys haven't heard of that. You probably have if you're here, but it's a longer talk show version of the thing, and it goes at nighttime, and we talk about crazy stuff, drink the maybe juice, all the rest of that. We used to do a news segment on that show, and it just got longer. And so, we just made our own news show, because, hey, you know what? You don't need an entire damn studio to do your own news show. That's for damn sure. What's going on, guys? I see you in the chat. I hope everybody's well today. Let's do it. Let's get to the freaking news. We got Science Alert. Science Alert says this. This is interesting regarding space, and think about what Mars means with this. But astronauts have distinct brain changes even months after they return to Earth. Uh-oh. That's not good. Flung into free fall for months on end, our bodies adjust in ways that makes for a long list of health concerns for space travelers. The latest evaluation of microgravity's warping effect on our biology focuses on the spaces surrounding the blood vessels that weave through our brain, revealing concerning changes that remain with astronauts between missions. Researchers from across the U.S. compared a series of magnetic resonance images, MRI scans, of 15 astronaut brains taken prior to a six-month stay on the International Space Station and up to 6 months after their return, using algorithms to carefully assess the sizes of perivascular spaces, gaps in brain tissue thought to facilitate the balance of fluids. The team found time spent in orbit had a profound effect on the brain's plumbing, for the first timers at least. Among the pool of veteran astronauts, there appeared to be little difference in the sizes of perivascular spaces in the two scans taken prior to the mission and the four taken after. Quote, experienced astronauts may have reached some kind of homeostasis, says Oregon Health and Science University neurologist Juan Piantino. The findings might not be all that surprising given what we already know about how the brain distorts when the constant tug of gravity is canceled out. Previous studies on brain tissues and their fluid volumes have found they're slow to recover from a stint in space, with some changes persisting for a year or more. Right now, astronauts rarely make more than a few trips into space in their lifetime, typically hanging around for roughly 6 months at a time. Yet, as commercialization of a space industry ramps up, this could all change. It will pay to know whether repeat trips compound harm or if changes experienced in the first trip temporarily adapt astronauts to a new kind of normal. Quote, We all adapted to use gravity in our favor, says Piantino. Pretty interesting stuff. So I wonder how this is actually going to go regarding space tourism, because that's going to happen, right? We're talking about flying just randos into space because they got the money, or talking about doing other stuff, right? What was that? Last news show on Monday, we talked about the actual space station. They say will launch let's say in by 2025, like an actual, like you can go up there and have a hotel stay and whatnot. I mean, that seems crazy to me. But if this is going to be a thing where we have brain changes just from being in space, this is not good. I mean, right? You could say, yeah, this, we can file this under how could this go wrong, because this is not good if we have actual brain changes happening. And if you want to quote it as a new normal, I guess that's fine. I mean, people turning into aliens, I guess, is fine to be a new normal. Whatevs. Did I link that? Probably not. Let's get the thing. Let's link the article. There it is. There you go. Boom. Right in the chat. All right. Did it affect their cognition? Yeah, that's a good question. It doesn't. Does it say? Let's see. Nope. It doesn't say. Nom, 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 nom. Yeah. Interesting. So actually, I think, let's see. There's a thing here. There's a scientific reports. So here's the actual Nature Journal thing where they did. Fridays aren't great. It's your job that sucks. There you go. We're making Fridays great again. There's that one. There's that one, APOC, if you want to check out the actual study on what it says there. But okay, so what's up? What's up? Hope everybody's well. Happy Friday. Fridays don't suck. It's your job that sucks. Just kidding. FDA puts strict limits on... This is from CNN. Check this out. This is fucking nuts. This is absolutely fucking batshit insane. Now, think about... I posted this in the Discord yesterday, but think about all of the time they spent saying, you have to get this... You have to get these things. You have to get these things. You have to get these things. Now, look at this. Look at the fuck at this. From CNN.com, the most trusted source of news. FDA puts strict limits on Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine. Oops, right? Mandates. Are you fucking kidding me? This is exactly what the conspiracy theorists have been saying all along. Hey, this shit went too fast. You should give people the option, because this is literally still fucking experimental. How are we going to mandate this shit on trials of like hundreds of people when then roll it out to hundreds of millions of people? It doesn't make any fucking sense, right? And sure enough, according to CNN, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration announced Thursday that it is limiting the emergency use authorization of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine to people 18 and older for whom other vaccines aren't appropriate or accessible, and those who opt for J&J because they wouldn't otherwise get vaccinated. The FDA said in a statement that the change is being made because of the risk of a rare and dangerous clotting condition called thrombosis with thrombocytopenia syndrome, TTS, after receiving the vaccine. Quote, we've been closely monitoring the Janssen COVID-19 vaccine, and I don't know why they say Janssen, but I guess it's Johnson & Johnson / Janssen. Anyway, we have been closely monitoring this Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine and occurrence of TTS following its administration, and have used updated information from our safety surveillance systems to revise the EUA. Dr. Peter Marks, director of the FDA Center for Biologics, what is that? How do you say that? Evaluation and research, anyway, said in a statement, we recognize that the Janssen COVID-19 vaccine still has a role in the current pandemic response in the United States and across the global community. Today's action demonstrates the robustness of our safety surveillance systems and our commitment to ensuring that science and data guide our actions. Oh, well, isn't that fucking nice? The agency confirmed to CNN that the updated authorization also applies to booster doses. The FDA says it has determined that the benefits of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine outweigh the risk for certain people. Examples of people who may still get the vaccine include those who had a severe allergic reaction to the mRNA vaccine, such as that from Pfizer and Moderna, those with personal concerns about the mRNA vaccines who would remain unvaccinated without the Johnson & Johnson, and those with limited access to mRNA and COVID-19 vaccines. Yeah, I mean, what the fuck, right? This is literally exactly why you don't rush something out and then mandate shit, because it's dangerous. It can be dangerous. Look, I'm not saying it's always always dangerous. I'm saying that if you're going to do shit like this, you got to give people the option, right? Remember, again, we're back into this whole bit. You can't even script this shit, right? Where you're just like, oh, okay, you know, my body, my choice, right? You guys heard this before. You heard this quite a lot in the last week. My body, my choice, right? Well, no, not when it comes to vaccines, if you ask these assholes. And not only that, some of these vaccines, they're saying straight up are fucking dangerous. So, well, see what I said there? Some of them. This is not good. This is not a good thing. This is one of those things that really gets my goat about any kind of mandate. And remember, they were, you know, going to put you on like a fucking no-fly list and shit, like you're a damn terrorist if you didn't get one of these things. I mean, this is crazy. This is crazy sauce. And this is exactly why I've been exactly like I have been regarding the vaccines and stuff. I'm saying, look, get them if you want them. If you don't, right? It should be your body, your fucking choice. I've always said that, right? That's it. And not because I wanted you to hear anything I said regarding whether you should or shouldn't. It's not my fucking body. It's yours. So why am I going to make that decision for you or even hint one way or the other? You should decide for yourself. But in this case, this is not good. This was fucking dangerous. Are you kidding me? And how many people took this? Like, they say it's rare, right? This rare thrombosis condition, whatever the hell it's called. But, I mean, yeah. Funny, not funny, right? Like, this is one of those things that's like, come on now. Like, you guys should have known better. You guys should have known better about mandates and doing things that are just very, very experimental. Yeah, you should have known better. You just should have known better. Anyway, like I said, the conspiracy theorists knew. I knew that this stuff could have been dangerous, potentially, just because you never know, right? If you don't do things through actual trial and time and all those the way you're supposed to do it, stuff like this doesn't come out, and then it comes out in the population of hundreds of millions of people, and that's not good at all. Now, anyway, shut up, Mike. CNET, here we go. We're going to CNET.com. This one's pretty cool. This is let's go here. This is I already linked it. This is scientists spot a bizarre yellow brick road in Pacific Ocean. Yeah, can you believe this? This is neat. So we got the path to the Emerald City might travel along the ocean's bottom. The crew of the exploration vessel Nautilus caught sight of a strange-looking formation while studying an area called Lili Uokalani Ridge in the anyway, it's a really long Hawaiian name. Marine National Monument in the Pacific Ocean. Let's see if Microsoft Mike can say these words, because that's pretty hot if he can. Let's try this.
The path to the Emerald City might travel along the ocean's bottom. The crew of the exploration vessel Nautilus caught sight of a strange-looking formation while studying an area called Lili Uokalani Ridge in the Papahanaumokuakea Marine National Monument in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow, it's almost like Microsoft Mike doesn't care about big words. Holy shit, I still don't know how to say it after hearing Microsoft Mike say it. Anyway, that's where it's at. You heard it. The feature resembles a road paved in cobblestones. Yeah, what the fuck? Impressed researchers viewing a live dive footage of the formation described it as a yellow brick road and the road to Atlantis, and called it bizarre, cool, and crazy in a video released last week. And let's see. Look at a little bit of this, and look at some of this footage. This is fucking nuts. Look at that thing. It's again, you guys got the link, and you can check this out full screen if you want to have a look at it. But that seems to be actual some sort of cobblestone road on the bottom of the ocean. Yeah, right. I mean, what in the world? That's crazy, right? So we talk about this type of stuff all the time. In that the old Graham Hancock bit of we're a species with amnesia, but this is a perfect example of that. Like, what exactly is this? And pretty nuts. Anyway, what's going on? Nautilus spent most of April studying the geology and biological systems of seamounts, underwater mountains with volcanic origins. Quote, at the summit of Nootka Seamount, the team spotted a dried lake bed formation, now ID'd as a fractured flow of hyaloclastic rock, a volcanic rock formed in high-energy eruptions where many rock fragments settle into the seabed, the team said. The brick-like patterns likely come from heating and cooling cycles connected to eruptions. All right, there it is. They say it's natural. What do you think? The yellow brick road to the mythical city of Atlantis. Or I mean, maybe it's natural. I'm not so sure it's natural at all. but there it is. So who knows what the hell's really going on underneath the ocean? Because, well, you'd have to get down there, wouldn't you? Ronald wants to know, do you have to wear ruby red flippers? Damn it, Ronald. Damn it. Are you a good siren or a bad siren, says the Night Stalker. Damn you guys. You guys and your jokes. All right. What are we doing? I think we're okay time-wise. Yep. Perfect. All right. We're going to take a quick break and get a word from our sponsor, which, of course, is you. Don't go anywhere. More Trouble Minds news on the way. Be right back.
Are you digging the show? If so, you can support us quite easily and at no additional cost to you if you already have an Amazon Prime account. Since we stream on Twitch every day, all you have to do is link your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account, and they give you free games on a monthly basis for your personal use, and also a bonus $5 a month to send to your favorite streamer as a way to bring more people to Twitch. And all you have to do is sync up the two accounts and click subscribe. Thanks for considering us.
All right, welcome back to Troubled Minds News. I'm Michael Strange. Let's keep on trucking, shall we? Let's go to futurism. You got to love this stuff. And you got to love just the way technology works sometimes. And in this case, it's not the best. Piece falls off a Boeing Starliner as it trundles toward launch pad. Oops. Oops. Yep, definitely oops. After years of setbacks, Boeing is finally rolling out its Starliner spacecraft to the launch pad today for its second attempt to rendezvous with the International Space Station. Doing no favors for the spacecraft's reputation for jankiness, it ran into yet another mishap along the way. While strapped to the back of a large truck, a piece of the capsule's window appeared to pop off, tumbling down to the asphalt, as spotted in footage shared by CBS Space News reporter William Harwood. The procession briefly stopped to check for damage before resuming its journey to Space Launch Complex 41 in Cape Canaveral, Florida. Boeing later confirmed to Harwood that it was a protective window cover that had fallen off the capsule. Oh. All told, it doesn't sound like a terribly serious issue, but the optics are terrible considering what Boeing has been through with the development of Starliner, its competitor to SpaceX's Crew Dragon capsule. Yep, Starliner's maiden voyage back in 2020 almost ended in disaster and prompted a NASA safety review, which determined Boeing had cut several crucial corners in its planning. Yeah, right? Like, this is messed up. What's up? Thanks for the sub. Witcher 89, how are you? So the capsule's second uncrewed test flight, originally slated for launch in August 2021, has been delayed several times, with engineers struggling with a number of issues, including Florida's humidity corroding valves. My goodness gracious. To prepare for said mission, the Starliner capsule is now getting ready to be stacked atop a United Launch Alliance Atlas V rocket for its second attempt to make it into orbit and dock with the station. Meanwhile, SpaceX has been running laps around its competition. Both the Elon Musk-led company and Boeing have been developing space capsules as part of NASA's commercial program, crew program, but only the former has managed to successfully deliver astronauts and cargo to the ISS. This is not good. This is one of those ones where you're like, come on now. Is this really the way the world works? You would expect this to be the tightest engineering ever, considering that you're going to send people into space and their literal life depends on the engineering of this. And prompted safety reviews, parts popping off on the runway. I mean, let's just say it's a bad look. 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link at troubledminds.org. Bad looks. There's so many bad looks anymore, right? Everything's a bad look these days. Speaking of bad looks, go check out UFO Twitter today on fuck. My God. What a shit show that place is. There's so much poo-flinging over there. It's just the most ridiculous thing. I just scanned it a little bit this morning and was like, what in the world is going on with these people? Anyway, let's go to yahoo.com because, they still exist. Yeah, they do. Yahoo hasn't gone the way of the dodo just yet. If only somebody was talking about this a long time ago. Headline is, scientists worried Mars rocks retrieved by NASA may host alien germs. Oh, I wonder. I've talked about this several times in the past. And I think this is not, I don't think it's a good idea. All right, look, first off, if this is the case, like, we don't know exactly what's on Mars, all right? There could be life there. There could be virulent bacteria, all right? Alien germs, whatever. There could be really nasty shit that's really bad for people, right? That's just dying to get a foothold in, you know, squishy life forms like ourselves. But so the way I see this is, they're collecting rocks right now on with the Curiosity rover, I believe it is. And they're trying to get a mission in the next 10 years to bring these rocks back to Earth, okay? But I've been saying the whole time, we shouldn't even come close to this. Like, this should go to the ISS first, or this should go get some sort of, like, a forward base on Mars, at least with a little scientific outpost, something going on to where we do not bring this shit back to Earth, because you'd never fucking know what's in this stuff and what kind of aliens. I mean, this is the start of every bad alien movie, right? Every bad sci-fi movie is rocks come back from outer space or some shit like this, and then suddenly it's The Walking Dead, right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. NASA is planning to bring rocks from Mars to Earth. The space agency has asked for the public's opinion on its plan to retrieve samples that Perseverance rover, sorry, not Curiosity. It's a monumental moment in our efforts to explore the red planet. Despite the excitement around it, some scientists are concerned alien germs could catch a ride back too. Ha, yeah, no shit, right? NASA is currently holding public meetings this week and asking for feedback about its sample retrieval plans. Let's give some feedback. The link's right here. I'm going to drop this in the thing, and let's tell them, don't fucking do this. Like, don't do this. This is not a good idea. Again, right? Like, we've seen how quickly a, you know, pathogen can run rampant around the Earth. If it's an alien pathogen, we have no idea how to protect ourselves. This is not a good thing. So there's the link if you guys want to, let's see, NASA invites comment on initial plans for Mars sample program return. So you can actually do the thing here. They're going to be accepted through mail and online through Monday, May 16th. So there you go. Do this. Click the link and send them a thing and tell them, don't do this. This is not, like, it's not worth the risk, right? There's got to be a better way to do this than just to bring this shit back to Earth and expect this, nothing's going to be a problem, right? Call me a dirty conspiracy theorist, but this is not good. This is not good. Yeah, so basically NASA can't get their rocks off, pretty much. What's going on, guys? So NASA is currently holding public meetings and asking for feedback about its sample retrieval plans. As it stands, the space agency plans to land a spacecraft with Martian samples at a U.S. Air Force base in the early 2030s. That's perfect timing, right? Agenda 2030. Yeah, nice. That's still a long way off, but some scientists warn NASA needs to ensure we're protected from any alien germs that might piggyback a ride, too. Exactly, right? Quote, says Peter Doran, a geologist at Louisiana State University, I think that's a very low probability that there's anything living on the surface of Mars, but there is a possibility, he said via NPR. NASA's current plan will see a container with the samples shot into orbit from the surface of the planet. From there, another container will collect the sample container from orbit. From there, the samples will be delivered to Earth so they can be studied. Again, it's a monumental move and one that we've been building to for quite a while, but what happens if those samples do have alien germs on them? Then we have The Walking Dead, right? I mean, yeah, this ends up not good. So there you go. You got the link if you want to tell them. I'm going to tell them, don't fucking do this. Please don't do this. Speaking of the moon, let's stay on the moon for just a moment as we keep on trucking and talking about more stuff on A Troubled Minds News. This is moon from the Daily Beast. If only somebody was talking about this 4 freaking years ago. Moon soil can be turned into air and fuel for lunar astronauts. Oh, okay. Who knew? apparently lots of people knew, but for some reason this is finally in the news cycles. Anyway, here we go. Since the first moon landing in 1969, it's been a goal to establish lunar colonies. After all, the moon has water we could use, subterranean caves we could inhabit, and now it seems a native way to generate a steady source of usable energy. With the upcoming Artemis project from NASA that aims to bring humans back to the satellite, it's more important than ever to research and invest in resources for a long-term lunar stay. Luckily, scientists in China might have discovered something that can help. In a new study published Thursday in the journal Joule, J-O-U-L-E, the researchers found that chemical compounds in lunar soil are capable of transforming carbon dioxide and water into oxygen and hydrocarbons like methane that can be used as fuel. How come a couple knuckleheads on a conspiracy podcast 4 years ago knew this, and now suddenly it's news? Are you kidding me? The team says these chemical compounds can act as catalysts, substances that speed up chemical reactions to form an extraterrestrial photosynthesis system. Oh, okay. This means that lunar soil, along with sunlight, could be used to support long-term lunar living for colonies. It goes back to one big challenge standing in the way of sustainable living outside Earth. Resources, of course. You can only bring so much breathable air, usable water, and fuel on a space mission. While scientists are developing technologies that will allow astronauts to tap into planetary resources, these technologies still require elements from home. Anyway, yeah, like I said, weird. Go back to listen to our very second episode about the moon. We were talking about exactly this. So I don't know why this is news now, 4 years later, but okay, whatever. Get them, guys. Some sort of breakthrough, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, it seems like knuckleheads on the internet seem to know some things once in a while. ScienceAlert.com, 702-957-1037. Let's go to Science Alert. Science Alert says this. Yep, wouldn't you believe it? There are mountains of sugar hidden in the ocean, and we've only just found out. Yeah, who knew? Hidden below the waves, the ocean contains vast reserves of sugar that we were never aware of, according to new research. Scientists have discovered that seagrass meadows on the ocean floor can store huge amounts of the sweet stuff underneath their waving fronds. And there are major implications for carbon storage and climate change, of course. The sugar comes in the form of sucrose, the main ingredient of sugar used in the kitchen, and it's released from the seagrasses into the soil underneath, an area directly affected by the roots, known as the rhizosphere. It means seabed sugar concentrations are some 80 times higher than they would be normally. Worldwide seagrasses could be sitting up to 1.3 million tons of sucrose, the research team says. To put it another way, that's enough for about 32 billion cans of Coca-Cola. Holy shit. So we're talking about a substantial find of hidden sugar. Quote, seagrasses produce sugar during photosynthesis, says marine microbiologist Nicole Dubilier, from the Max Planck Institute for Marine Microbiology in Germany. Under average light conditions, these plants are use most of the sugars that they produce for their own metabolism and growth. But under high light conditions, for example, at midday or during the summer, the plants produce more sugar than they can use or store. Then they release the excess sucrose into their rhizosphere. Think of it as an overflow valve. What's surprising is that this excess sugar isn't gobbled up by microorganisms in the surrounding environment. To stop this, it seems seagrasses send out phenolic compounds, I think that's how you say it, in the same way as many other plants do. These chemical compounds found in red wine, coffee, and fruit, as well as many other places in nature, are antimicrobials that inhabit the metabolism of most microorganisms, slowing them down. The researchers tested out the hypothesis in an actual underwater seagrass field to confirm that this is indeed what was happening via a mass spectrometry technique. Anyway, there you go. Tons of sugar. Enough for how many billion cans of Coke? 1.3 million tons of sucrose, 32 billion cans of Coca-Cola. Holy shit. That's a lot, right? That's a lot. 702-957-1037. Let's keep on trucking. There's more. There's always more. This is from protocol.com. To the news. Stop worrying about AI bias all the time, says Deloitte's, what is this, AI ethics lead. How do you say that? Let's ask Microsoft Mike. He likes to read things. Read really big, crazy words. I don't know what that word is. Let's find out.
Stop worrying about AI bias all the time, says Deloitte's AI ethics lead.
Deloitte, okay. I think I made more of that than it was. There you go. Quote, you won't see many people with my background talking about ethics, said Bina Amananth, executive director of the Global Deloitte AI Institute and head of trustworthy AI and ethical tech at the global consulting company. A computer scientist who worked as a database and SQL developer and held data science and AI-related technology roles at Bank of America, GE, and Hewlett-Packard before joining Deloitte in 2019, Amananth wasn't always gung-ho to talk AI ethics. Then she decided to write a book about it. Quote, there has arguably never been a more exciting time in AI, she wrote in her book, Trustworthy AI. Alongside the arrival of so much promise and potential, however, the attention placed on AI ethics has been relatively slight. What passes for public scrutiny is too often just seductive, clickbait headlines that fret over AI bias and point to a discrete case use case. There's a lot of noise on AI ethics and trust, and it does not move us closer to clarity or consensus on how we keep trust in AI commensurate with its power. Oh, yeah. Anyway, Amenanth calls the book, which attempts to move beyond hand-wringing over AI's problems toward practical ways to develop AI with ethical considerations in mind, quote, a synthesis of especially the last 10 years of my professional experience. Okay, well, I can say the last, let's say, 4 years of my semi-pro conspiracy theories experience is that AI ethics is a can of worms. It's how do you do this? How do you set it up? You have to actually, you know, set things up so they cannot update, right? Update online. They can't be hooked up online, because this is exactly how the Terminator starts, right? Like something gets a hold of the where the source code comes from and alters some things and then downloads it to the robots and boom, Skynet, right? I mean, hey, it's not as easy as it looks. And you know, she seems to think, well, maybe we should stop fretting about it. Let's stop worrying about AI bias all the time. Stop worrying about Terminator robots. How about that? Yeah. Catch me outside. How about that? All right. 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link, troubleminds.org. We'll put you on the show. It's as easy as that. What we're going to do is take a quick break and get a word from our sponsor, which is you, of course. Don't go anywhere. This is Trouble Minds News. I'm Michael Strange. Be right back.
Welcome back to Troubled Minds News. I am your host, Michael Strange.
Let's keep on trucking, shall we? Let's go to neuroscience news.com. And we'll do this. That's better. Wouldn't you know it? Higher antioxidant levels linked to lower dementia risk. Oh, nice. Summary. People with higher levels of antioxidants, lutein, zeaxanthin, and beta-cryptoxanthin may have lower risk of developing dementia, researchers report. People with higher levels of antioxidants in their blood may be less likely to develop dementia, according to a new study. We just said that. The study found that people with the highest levels of antioxidants, lutein and zeaxanthin and beta-cryptoxanthin in their blood, again, I'm not going to say those things again, were less likely to develop dementia decades later than people with lower levels of the antioxidants. These ones are found in green and leafy vegetables such as kale, spinach, broccoli, and peas. The beta-cryptoxanthin is found in fruits such as oranges, papaya, tangerines, and persimmons. Quote, extending people's cognitive functioning is an important public health challenge, said study author May A. Baydoun, PhD of the National Institute of Health's National Institute on Aging in Baltimore, Maryland. And there you go. Extending people's cognitive functioning is an important public health challenge, said study author May. I already read that. Antioxidants may help the brain from oxidative stress, which can cause cell damage. Further studies are needed to test whether adding these antioxidants can help protect the brain from dementia. The study involved 7,283 people who were at least 45 years old at the beginning of the study. They had a physical exam, an interview, and blood test for antioxidant levels at the beginning of the study. They were then followed for an average of 16 years to see who developed dementia. Now, look, this is how you do an actual study, right? 7,283 people for 16 years, right? Up to 16 years, okay? Not, you know, back to that idea of the, you know, rolling out a super fast, vaccine for something and, you know, mandating it. Like, this is how actual, like, scientific studies on people should be done for a long-ass time, right? To find out all the things. And so anyway, the participants were divided into three groups based on their levels of antioxidants in the blood. People with the highest amounts of these were less likely to develop dementia than those with the lower levels. There you go. So what is the percentages here? Every standard deviation increase in lutein and approximately 15.4 micromoles per liter was associated with a 7% decrease in the risk of dementia. For beta-cryptoxanthin, every standard deviation increase in levels, approximately 8.6 micromoles per liter, was associated with a 14% reduced risk of dementia. So, in other words, significant, definitely significant. 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link. troubleminds.org. What's up? What's up? How's everybody doing? Let's see. What's up? We got Zenwen posted. Who's this Dabu777 guy? Everybody's always posting this guy's videos. Dabu777. Anyway, let's keep on trucking. Speaking of, Dabu. So, just kidding. Let's go to whatever this is. This is the road to VR. Yeah, wouldn't you know, NVIDIA researchers demonstrate ultra-thin holographic VR glasses that could reach 120-degree field of view. Is it a weather guy? I don't know. I'm not sure. Anyway, so this is interesting. Look at the holographic glasses. So this is quite a step forward already for those big stupid Oculus goggles that they strap on your face for the metaverse when you're going to own nothing and be happy. A team of researchers from NVIDIA Research and Stanford published a new paper demonstrating a pair of thin holographic VR glasses. The displays can show true holographic content, solving for the vergence accommodation issue. Though the research prototypes demonstrating the principles were much smaller in field of view, the researchers claim it would be straightforward to achieve a 120-degree diagonal field of view. Published ahead of this year's upcoming SIGGRAPH 2022 conference, that's SIGGRAPH, a team of researchers from NVIDIA Research and Stanford demonstrated a near-eye VR display that can be used to display flat images or holograms in compact form factor. The paper also explores the interconnected variables in the system that impact key display factors like field of view, eye box, and eye relief. Further, the researchers explored different algorithms for optimally rendering the image for the best visual quality. So, interesting. Aside from this individual in the video here, looks like Edward Snowden. That's fucking weird. But interesting. So this is already, right, the VR stuff is already becoming not so, big bulbous thing on your head. So there you go. You will own nothing and you'll be happy. 702-957-1037. We haven't talked about poo today, so let's talk about poo. Let's go to neuroscience.news.com. Again, check this out. This is pretty nuts. Fecal transplants reverse hallmarks of aging. What the hell does that mean? summary. Let's just skip the summary. Let's see. In a search for eternal youth, poo transplants may seem like an unlikely way to reverse the aging process. Okay, what? However, scientists at the Quadram Institute in the University of East Anglia have provided evidence from research in mice that transplanting fecal microbiota from young into old mice can reverse hallmarks of aging in the gut, eyes, and brain. What? In the reverse experiment, the microbes from aged mice induced inflammation in the brain of young recipients and depleted a key protein required for normal vision. Wow, okay. Poo transplants, here we come. These findings show that gut microbes play a role in the regulating some of the detrimental effects of aging and open up the possibility of gut microbe-based therapies to combat a decline in later life. Yeah. Right? This should be fine. Professor Simon Carding from UEA's Norwich Medical School and head of the Gut Microbes and Health Research Program at the Quadram Institute said, quote, "This groundbreaking study provides tantalizing evidence for the direct involvement of gut microbes in aging and the functional decline of brain function and vision and offers a potential solution in the form of gut microbe replacement therapy." Ain't that a bunch of shit, right? Says Ronald. There you go. There you go. The crazy stuff. It has been known for some time that the population of microbes that we carry around in our gut collectively, called the gut microbiota, biota, is linked to health. Most diseases are associated with changes in the types and behavior of bacteria, viruses, fungi, and other microbes in an individual's gut. Yeah. So there you go. If you want to sign up for some transplants of, the poo transplant, says it right there. Poo transplant. I didn't make that up. It sounds like I made it up, but I didn't make that up. All right, 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link, troubledminds.org. Right, let's go. Let's do this. Let's go to SciTech Daily. Yep. All right. Who wants SciTech Daily? I do. Spontaneous magnetic reversal of monster black hole sparks enigmatic outburst. A rare and enigmatic outburst from an active galaxy 236 million light years away may have been sparked by a magnetic reversal, a spontaneous flip of the magnetic field surrounding its central black hole. Holy shit. What about that? An actual spontaneous flip of a magnetic field around a black hole. That's like a pole shift, right? That's like a pole shift. That'd be bad on Earth. Imagine what it would do around this huge black hole. It's crazy. Quote, "Rapid changes in visible and ultraviolet light have been seen in a few dozen galaxies similar to this one," says Sibasish Laha. Holy smokes. A research scientist at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, and NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland. Quote, "But this event marks the first time we've seen X-rays dropping out completely while the other wavelengths brighten." Dabo is a conspiracy guy. I've seen a couple of his casts. Gotcha. Yeah. Dabu. Is it Dabu? Dabo's 0777. Everybody's got the 777s now. It's super weird. Anyway, the research team analyzed new and archival observations across the spectrum. NASA's Neil Garrel's Swift Observatory and ESA's XMM Newton satellite provided UV and X-ray measurements. Visible light observations came from Italy's 3.6-meter Galileo National Telescope and the 10.4-meter Grand Telescope Canarias, both located on the island of La Palma in the Canary Islands in Spain. So radio measurements were acquired from the Very Long Baseline Array, a network of 10 radio telescopes located across the United States, New Mexico, and the European network. When SWIFT first examined the galaxy in May 2018, its UV emission was elevated by 12 times, but steadily declining, indicating an earlier unobserved peak. Then in June, the galaxy's higher energy X-ray emission disappeared. Quote, I was very excited to delve into this galaxy's strange explosive episode and try to understand the possible physical processes at work, said Jose Acosta Pulido, co-author of the Canary Islands Institute of Astrophysics and, on Tenerife. This is cool. of course, we'll never really know until we walk out there and touch it, right? Reach out and touch it. I don't know. I think it's pretty crazy stuff, considering that black holes, we know almost nothing about them still. We're trying to figure it out, but kind of know. You don't know till you know, right? All right, cool. 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link, troubledminds.org. And let's keep on trucking, shall we? Let's go to Gizmodo. Gizmodo, one of my favorites. All right, let's do it. A space-based gravitational wave observatory is a step closer to reality. All right. Now we're talking. We're more space stuff. Love the space stuff. A proposal for the first-ever space-based observatory for studying gravitational waves just passed a vital feasibility review with flying colors. The mission is called LISA, the Laser Interferometer Space Antenna, and it cleared Phase A of its mission lifetime cycle, the process by which missions are dreamt up and then created. Led by the European Space Agency in collaboration with NASA, LISA is made up of three spacecraft that will orbit the sun in a triangular formation. Each side of that triangle will be 1.5 million miles long. As an interferometer, interferometer, like the ground-based LIGO, L-I-G-O, LISA will very precisely keep track of the distance between the three spacecraft. When a passing gravitational wave causes a distortion in space-time, LISA will detect it as the distance between its spacecraft briefly changes. LISA will also be able to detect where in the sky the gravitational wave came from. That's pretty cool because these gravitational waves, we don't really know, right? Like how often they happen, and we detect them kind of sometimes inadvertently here on Earth. So anyway, gravitational waves predicted to exist by Einstein are produced by some of the most extreme astrophysical phenomena in the universe. When black holes and neutron stars, some of the densest, most massive objects out there, orbit one another or merge, they cause ripples in the fabric of space-time. Space-time. Since LIGO made history by detecting gravitational waves in 2015, astrophysicists have become determined to see more of these ripples, but some are harder to observe than others. Mergers of different masses produce waves of different frequencies. Small black hole mergers and explosive events like supernovae are detectable by observatories like LIGO, but supermassive black hole mergers emit frequencies that LIGO's 2.5-mile-long arms are simply too short to detect. At least as 1.5 million-mile arms will be able to detect lower frequency events like those clashes of giant black holes. Sweet. Yeah. I like it. It's hard for me to hate this. Like I said, more space stuff. Let's get some more stuff in space. Let's find out more stuff about space. I want to find Cthulhu. He's out there somewhere. Let's get some telescopes and some eyes up there and let's find that bastard. He's out there in the deep darkness of space. Cthulhu. Coming to a portal near you. 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link, troubledminds.org, and we're doing our thing, hanging out. Hope everybody's well, and happy Friday. And let's go one more. Let's do Elon Musk, shall we? Let's go to the Daily Mail. The Daily Mail. You have to make an archive. You got to do the Dwayne Dibley trick. What's up? Shout out to Dwayne Dibley and teaching me the archive trick here on getting rid of the ads. The Daily Mail. Mm-hmm. This is pretty wild. Elon Musk's Neuralink rival, Synchron, begins human trials of its brain implant that lets the wearer control a computer using thought alone. Elon Musk's Neuralink rival Synchron has begun human trials of its brain implant that lets the wearer control a computer using thought alone. The firm's Stentrode brain implant, about the size of a paperclip, will be implanted in 6 patients in New York and Pittsburgh who have severe paralysis. Stentrode will let patients control digital devices just by thinking and give them back the ability to perform daily tasks, including texting, emailing, and shopping online. Although the implant has already been implanted and tested in Australian patients, the new clinical trial marks the first time it will be tested in the U.S. If successful, the Stentrode brain implant could be sold as a commercial product aimed at paralysis patients to regain their independence and quality of life. Yeah, right? Synchron. Yeah, exactly. What's up, James? What's up? Synchron appears to be advancing at a quicker pace than its rival in the field, Neuralink, which is owned by Elon Musk, which is interesting because we've kind of never heard about this, right? Because Elon Musk is the hype factor guy that, not this time. Synchron. Yeah, Synchron appears to be ahead of Neuralink. And there you go. There's your Stentrode consists of a scaffold made of from a flexible alloy called nitinol. The scaffold is dotted with electrodes, which can record neural signals in the brain. There you go. It looks kind of like a weird little hairnet, but I guess it's for your brain. Yeah, exactly. Night Stalker's right. Implant this thing in your brain to hook up you up to a computer to shop online. Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're paralyzed, that's different. But otherwise, like WTF, right? So Synchron's clinical trial called Command, that should be fine, is being conducted under the first investigational device exemption awarded by the U.S. FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. An IDE allows a device to be used in a clinical study in order to collect data on its safety and effectiveness. The Command study progresses Synchron's technology development through the feasibility stage as we prepare for our pivotal trial, said Tom Oxley, CEO and founder of Synchron. Yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on with this. It's weird. This is the future. You're going to get this stuff wired in your head and you will be happy. And hopefully they don't mandate it. Yeah, like I said, I'm all for this stuff. You guys know me, as long as they don't mandate shit. I hate mandates because it reeks of something else. It reeks of a different agenda. And I don't like those different agendas because, I think, like I said, they're going to use shit against us. But anyway, 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link, troubleminds.org. Let's get a quick word from our sponsor, which is you, and we'll finish this sucker up. Be right back.
Are you digging the show? If so, you can support us quite easily and at no additional cost to you if you already have an Amazon Prime account. Since we stream on Twitch every day, all you have to do is link your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account, and they give you free games on a monthly basis for your personal use, and also a bonus $5 a month to send to your favorite streamer as a way to bring more people to Twitch. And all you have to do is sync up to 2 accounts and click subscribe. Thanks for considering us.
Okay, let's keep on trucking, shall we? CNN.com reports, this one's super fucked up. Check this out. CDC investigating more than 100 cases of unexplained hepatitis in children, including 5 deaths. What the fuck is this? The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Friday that it's investigating 109 cases of severe and unexplained hepatitis in children in 25 states and territories that may be linked to a worldwide outbreak. Among them, 14% needed transplants, and 5 children have died. Nearly all of the children, more than 90%, needed to be hospitalized. What in the world is going on here? Dr. Jay Butler, the CDC's Deputy Director of Infectious Diseases, stressed that the investigation, a partnership between the CDC and state health departments, is an evolving situation. Not all the hepatitis cases they are studying now may ultimately be caused by the same thing. Quote, it's important to note that this is an evolving situation and we are casting a wide net to help broaden our understanding, Butler said. Hepatitis or swelling of the liver can be caused by infections, autoimmune diseases, drugs, and toxins. A family of viruses well known for attacking the liver causes hepatitis A, hepatitis B, and hepatitis C. It's not clear what's driving these cases in young children, Butler said. Of the common causes of viral hepatitis have been considered, but were not found in any of the cases. Adenovirus has been detected in more than 50% of cases, although its role isn't clear. There you go. This is not good. On April 12th, the CDC alerted doctors to a cluster of unusual cases of hepatitis in 9 children in Alabama. They'd asked doctors and public health officials to notify the agency if they had similar cases of children under the age of 10. 10 with elevated liver enzymes and no apparent explanation for their hepatitis going back to October. Since then, health departments have been working with pediatric specialists in their states to identify possible cases. The numbers shared at Friday's news briefing are at first are the first national look at cases. So yeah, this is fucked up. Who knows what's going on? If this is another, you know, thing going around that's doing its thing. I don't want to say the words, you know, because, well, knock on wood, that's not what this is. But this is not good. Children with hepatitis, this is not a good thing. Anybody with hepatitis, least of all children, that sucks. Stuttering feed just went dead. Did it? I think we're okay. I think on this end, everything's fine. Gonna have to maybe refresh. I don't know. All right, here we go. Science alert. Let's go to science alert. Let's do it. We got this. New eye drops improve aging vision without glasses. Sweet. I'm actually thinking about getting glasses because all this monitor reading, I'm like reading these huge monitors super up close. I can't see shit anymore. It's getting bad and starting to get blurry when I'm looking around. I'm like trying to read shit. I'm like, you know, wow, I can't read that. How come? Yeah, I'm getting old. What's going on, guys? This is cool. When people get into their 40s and beyond, their close-up vision starts to worsen. For many people, cranking up the font size on a phone or maxing out the brightness on a computer is the only way to read some text. The condition is known as presbyopia, and it affects around 128 million people in the U.S. and more than a billion people worldwide. In late 2021, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved a new eye drop medication to treat this condition. As an optometrist, it says I was initially skeptical. Prior to the release of these eye drops called Vuity, V-U-I-T-Y, people would either need glasses, contacts, or eye surgery to alleviate presbyopia. But after learning how these drops work, I recognized that for many people, they could offer an easier and safer way to see clearly again. Interesting. So let's see. There you go. You got some stuff here. They're explaining what it is and why. How the eye drops work. Remember, two major things an eye does is focus on close objects. The lens changes shape and the pupil gets smaller. Since presbyopia limits the ability of the lens to change shape, these eye drops compensate by causing the pupil to get smaller. Constricting the pupil reduces the amount of light scatter. This makes it so that the light entering the eye is better concentrated onto the retina, thus creating a wider range of distances where objects are in focus and allowing people to see both close and far objects clearly. Yeah, this is fine. Let's just manipulate the size of the pupil through some sort of eye drops. Yeah, there we go. All right, we're having problems on Twitch, I guess, is what we're saying over there. One problem, next problem, other problem. Yeah, shit happens. Oh, boy. Twitch, for being a streaming platform, it does have its problems, doesn't it? It doesn't seem to be cool to me. So we got some more strange news. Let's get to the strange news. Two strange newses. Because, of course, I'm Michael Strange. Let's go to, and this is Troubled Minds News. Let's go to here, space.com. Strange Mars rock type points to extremely violent volcanic eruptions. What? All right. This is fine. An unusual rock type spotted by two Mars rovers may indicate that the Martian landscape was shaped by extremely violent volcanic eruptions. The Nilae Fossae region of Mars, which includes the Jezero crater that NASA's Perseverance rover is currently exploring, is filled with bedrock laden with the volcanic mineral olivine. The same olivine-rich bedrock was also found at the Gusev crater, where NASA's Spirit rover roamed until its demise in 2010. But the connection between the regions wasn't made until now by a team led by planetary geologist Steve Ruff of Arizona State University. The researchers examined data from multiple Mars rovers to confirm the geological similarities, which indicates the local rocks might have formed by similar processes. Then the scientists compared Spirit's images of the Gusev crater rock with the images of Earth rocks, and that was a eureka moment, Ruff said in a statement. I was seeing the same kind of textures in the rocks at Gusev crater as those in a very specific kind of volcanic rock found here on Earth. Well, there you go. So apparently violent volcanic eruptions on Mars. Like I always say, this should be fine, right? This should totally be cool. What do you think? You think that there's a Cthulhu up there on Mars? Maybe. 702-957-1037. Click the Discord link, troubledminds.org. More strange news. Speaking of strange news, anybody seen that Strange in the Madness stuff yet? The Doctor Strange 2? I may have to go see that. Is there a way to stream it yet? Yeah, cool. Anyway, SciTech Daily, Multiverse of Madness. Strange rules of quantum mechanics could explain why DNA can spontaneously mutate. Oh. Quantum mechanics again. Interesting. The molecules of life, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, let's see. The two strands of the famous DNA double helix are linked together by some atomic particles called protons, the nuclei of atoms of hydrogen, which provide the glue that bonds molecules called bases together. These so-called hydrogen bonds are like the rungs of a twisted ladder that makes up the double helix structure discovered in 1952 by James Watson and Francis Crick, based on the work of Rosalind Franklin and Maurice Wilkins. Normally, these DNA bases, called A, C, T, and G, follow strict rules on how they bond together. A always bonds to C, and C always to G. This strict pairing is determined by the molecule's shape, fitting them together like pieces in a jigsaw. But if the nature of the hydrogen bonds changes slightly, this can cause the pairing rule to break down, leading to the wrong bases being linked, and hence a mutation. Although predicted by Crick and Watson, it is now only now that sophisticated computational modeling has been able to quantify the process accurately. In a paper published today, May 5th, the journal Nature Communications Physics, the Surrey team based in Leverholm Quantum Biology Doctoral Training Center used an approach called open quantum systems to determine the physical mechanisms that might cause the protons to jump across between the DNA strands. But most intriguingly, as is, it is thanks to a well-known yet almost magical quantum mechanism called tunneling, akin to a phantom passing through a solid wall, that they managed to get across. It had previously been thought that such quantum behavior could not occur inside a living cell's warm, wet, and complex environment. However, the Austrian physicist Erwin Schrödinger had suggested in his 1944 book, What is Life?, that quantum mechanics can play a role in living systems since they behave rather differently from inanimate matter. This latest work seems to confirm Schrödinger's theory. And of course, everybody knows Schrödinger for the cat. Is a cat alive or dead? And the cat in the box, and right? Superposition says it's both until, well, you open the box and do the observation thing. So weird, good stuff. This is quantum tunneling happening in DNA, and now you know. It is interesting that you think in terms of the micro, macro, and all the stuff we talk about all the time on Troubled Minds, is that there's got to be some sort of like super like ridiculous shit going on in the quantum level inside of people, right? Because we're part of that world too. It's just super small. So I wonder if that's, you know, we talk about ESP and sixth sense and things like this, and you know, the power of the human brain and all kinds of whack stuff, right? But it's pretty notable that we're finding interesting connections to the quantum world through DNA. So, yeah, wild, absolutely wild. There you go. That wraps it up. That gets us just about where we need to be. If you guys want to help the show, you know what to do. There are a number of ways. You can sub up right here on Twitch. Thank you for the sub today. You can also sub up on Rockfin, of course. Rockfin's probably the best value, because if you sub up on Rockfin, it's $10. You get all the other stuff there. There's Crow777. There's Sam Tripoli over there. There's, Michael Tracy. Who's kind of a journalist that just likes to agitate everybody. There's Abby Martin of the Empire Files. There's who else? There's a lot of people. There's a lot of folks over there. Jimmy Dore. And you can find all their stuff. There's Flat Earth stuff over there. There's all kinds of stuff. So, and you can get all their premium content for one $10 a month cost. So, and of course the Troubled Minds stuff as well. So that's the easiest way. Probably the best value to support the show. The other way, of course, is Patreon, and you do get those bonus shows as well. And I do have an actual ad-free podcast feed coming up as well, so that will actually finally get online, and if you sub up to any of those things, you'll have access to that as well, so you can listen to podcasts without any commercials at all, so kind of in their most basic form, with just the bumper music out, bumper music back in, and no commercials bothering you. So that's coming, and appreciate each and every one of you that's subbed up and helping the show that way, and also appreciate each and every one of you that helps by being here with your energy and your time and all the rest of that as well. The other ways you can help, of course, if you want to help the show, you can go to troubledfans.com. That's where you get the merchandise, you get hats and shirts and things like this. That does help. Everything's been marked up pretty much at $10. So anything you buy is like sends $10 my way. So that's the profit margin situation there on just to let you know the way the prices are set up. That's why they're set up the way they are. And then also, what else do we have? Troubledfans.com. com. Then we have, oh yes, if you want to help, listen to the podcast feed. Spread the word, of course. That's the easiest way. If you don't want to spend money, also listen to the podcast feed. There are now exactly 404 episodes on the podcast feed as of this morning. And so, good stuff. Lots of old shows that you probably didn't catch, because the only one who's seen them all is probably me. So there you go. Just listen to the podcast feed. It'll help the show. Let those commercials play. Don't skip through them. Again, it's many hours of time on my part and our part and other people putting these shows together. So, you know, 60 seconds of your time for some ads. I would appreciate if you just let them run, because it knows if you skip them. That's how you help. Just listen to put on some old shows right from the podcast feed, and you're helping the show. So appreciate it very much. You guys are the best. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for being part of this. Thanks for being enthusiastic about these conversations and the news and everything else. And that's that. It's a wrap. You guys have a happy Friday and a fantastic weekend. More Trouble Minds coming up Monday. God willing, we got Monday. Have a fantastic one, guys. Michael Strange out.